proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God in Jesus Christ. This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
There's a time to build up and there's a time to tear down, says the author to the book of Ecclesiastes. Today on Abounding Grace, we're going to look at this from Exodus chapter 36, as we have an exciting passage here of willing hearts understanding what they are a part of in the kingdom of God as the tabernacle is being built. We'll see how in the New Testament, the Lord gives us the privilege of being members of his body, the church. And that when we are locally involved in a church, the church is being built up, his body, with living stones that make up a holy house unto the Lord. What an exciting thing to be members of the kingdom of God. Thanks for tuning in today to Abounding Grace Radio. Visit us on the web at agradio.org, agradio.org. The number is 888-504-8805, 888-504-8805. Find us on Facebook. And you're always welcome to call us or write to us. We'd love to hear from you. We read all your correspondence. And if you're able to support Abounding Grace, 100% of your support goes to continue to bring Abounding Grace Radio to you. Here is now the message from Exodus chapter 35 and 36, which I've titled, A Time to Build. May the gospel today on Abounding Grace Radio continue to richly bless you. The book of Ecclesiastes makes very clear that there is a time to build up and there is a time to tear down. We looked this morning at the time to tear down in Jerusalem when the temple all went down. Every stone upon another was thrown down, every single one. There's always wisdom needed to recognize when the Lord is building or when he is tearing down. Isn't that true? There are seasons that come. There's a time that he's tearing down, and when the Lord is tearing down, it should be a signal in a church, in a place, that deep repentance needs to come upon the people for their sins. In judgment, God tore down the temple, the great temple in Jerusalem, when the people had apostatized from the truth. Remember, the doors of the temple, nobody even cared to come up for worship anymore. Sad. And they stopped fulfilling the calling for which God had set apart a people in the earth. And that challenged us this morning. It's no different that if we fail to abandon Christ's great commission in preaching the gospel and baptizing in a word and sacrament ministry, if we abandon that, there is always the real danger, if we forget our purpose, that just as the church in Ephesus had happened and had a threat from Jesus, the Lord can pull the lampstand out of a church. You know what that means, of course. That a church could go on and sing all of its great songs and the Lord won't be there. It's a sad reality. But then there are times when the Lord is really building. Throughout history, we've seen fresh new beginnings from the Lord. We see this all throughout the scriptures, don't we? When the Lord was doing something, when he was pouring out grace and restoration upon the people, when the Spirit was really working and stirring the hearts of the people. And the worst thing that could happen at moments like that is for the people, when the Lord was ready to build, to be complacent, to be lazy. When God was ready and commanding that to be done, he was moved in his decree to act and strengthen and give the people, in sometimes throughout history, great moments of restoration. I talked about one this morning with Hezekiah and Josiah. Great moments. Read those moments. It's just remarkable how much they poured down all the idolatry in Israel, and Israel was built back up strong. At times he had to give them a swift kick to get them going. That's Haggai. That's the book of Haggai.
God had promised restoration when after the 70 years of captivity and judgment, he had promised it, and he would again pour out his spirit, and the people should have been expecting this. And then remember what happened as you open up the book of Haggai, God was bringing, he had brought them back into the land, and this is what we read. Verse 2, thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, this people says the time has not come that the Lord's house should be built. Then the word of the Lord came by Haggai, the prophet, saying, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses and the temple to lie in ruins? Is it? In other words, you all know how to panel your houses pretty good, and the Lord's house looks like a dump. Thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, this people says the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then the word of the Lord came by Haggai, the prophet, saying, is it time for you to dwell in your paneled houses and the temple to lie in ruins? He's saying something is terribly backwards in your thinking. You have plenty of time and resource to build your own things, but not the Lord's house. What we have tonight is a similar kind of scenario, only God had planned to build a tabernacle, and what is shown to you tonight is something that anticipates, I believe, New Covenant ministry. It's shown to you willing hearts in this project. Did you see how many times that was said to you in the text as we read it? Willing hearts, generous hearts, giving hearts. In fact, it's so wonderful, he had to tell him, stop the giving. It's too much. It's a remarkable moment in Israel's history. I'm not going to be a pastor up here applying that today in the wrong way. Don't worry. I've seen the TV preachers who do that. But I want you to think about the principle that's in front of you tonight, that God had planned to build this tabernacle, and what had happened in Israel was a heart of the people single-minded, unified, and joyful in the project. Full of joy. It's really refreshing after this morning, isn't it? Where the Lord had to tear down and the ugliness of that passage. What this foreshadows tonight is something that we get to enjoy today in Christ's building project. It's Jesus' building project. And it's only grace that will drive us to have willing hearts that want to be a part of this and to want to be here with joy. To want to be here with willing hearts, to want to give with willing hearts. You essentially have three things going on here. You have a heavy emphasis on giving, the kind of giving that is accompanied with a sincere heart. That's the first thing I want to look at here tonight. And I want to begin with the question of how did Israel get here? It's so radically different from what we've just been discovering and learning in the book of Exodus. Well, when you look at verse 4, we see that Moses talked to all the congregation of Israel in chapter 35, and this is the thing he said to the people of Israel, the Lord has commanded, take from among you a contribution to the Lord. Whoever is of a generous heart, let him bring the Lord's contribution. You have a long list there of treasures that God had plundered Egypt with for them. Remember, when they came out of Egypt, they had all this gold and all this plunder that the Lord had filled their lives with on the way to the promised land. They were a rich people on the way. No nation like this people. It was this that they had taken the gold and made the golden calf, remember. But this is really important. This was an entirely different moment in Israel's history, because what just happened is God said, I'm ready to build now. I'm ready to go. Can you imagine hearing this? In other words, I'm ready to come down and to dwell with you. That's chapter 40 of Exodus. It ends with the glory, Spirit coming down and the glory filling the tabernacle there in chapter 40. The whole thing, however, had been put on hold. Why? Well, one reason. They had been holding up a giant golden calf, calling it Yahweh, having great worship. And God had sent down his servant with the law, and there they were worshiping another God, one they had crafted, one they said, this is your God, O Israel, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Could God come down and dwell with them with that sin in the camp? The whole thing had been on hold. Israel had fallen into awful idolatry, and the question had surfaced. Remember, the Lord had planned to come and dwell among you, but how can he among idolaters? We've been wrestling with this whole Sinai covenant and looking at all the details of this, and is God going to abandon us was the question, because remember, he had promised to come down and be with them, but then once this golden calf event happened, he threatened to pull the project. In other words, he started tearing it down. What do I mean? 3,000 of their leaders were wiped out, I believe. And he says, I'll start over. An entirely new nation. Moses says, you can't do that. These are your people. Remember Abraham. Remember the covenant of grace. They were not ready. They were not ready for the building project to start. Because serious sin needed to be confessed. And that was the purpose of the law. What you see, that's what the tabernacle was about. God was building a tabernacle. He didn't need it. The heavens and all places, the Lord fills heaven and earth. The tabernacle was teaching them about salvation. It was a visual of Christ in the wilderness. It was a structure that God was raising up to show them the way that through the blood of a perfect lamb without spot, they could know God indeed was with them, that God was going with them. Now, what we have in this particular section is a people prepared, and I believe, whose hearts have been deeply and profoundly affected by the gospel. It's foreshadowing something for us. God spared them. God didn't destroy them. He gave them grace. Remember that was said? Moses kept appealing to it. You said you give grace. And the Lord gave a great gospel sermon to Moses and to Israel. The Lord God, a God merciful and gracious, long-suffering, abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands. Forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin. He proclaimed that. And the announcement was that this law, the righteous requirements of the law, would be met by the Lord. And we know what that all foreshadowed and what that all anticipated as Moses was hit in the cleft of the rock. Well, what begins to happen in the people's hearts? This is what I want you to see tonight. It's one of the more important sections of Exodus, because we finally see a people whose hearts have been ready now and been made ready by the Lord. They're responding to grace, finally. Whole time he had been demonstrating his deliverance. Look what he did for them. Pulled them out of Egypt, showed all his power, nothing but love, nothing but deliverance. They've been a bitter, murmuring, complaining, reckless, idolatrous people. Never saying thank you once. Bitterness. That's been the people. Bitter. Read Paul in 1 Corinthians 10. Bitter people, complaining people, always moaning, never happy, never satisfied. Not here. Not in this passage. Finally. And I believe you have a great Old Testament passage telling you how to respond to grace. Their bitter, angry, complaining hearts were replaced with a simplicity of heart in thankfulness to be in the Lord's house and in the Lord's work. You get that? Their bitter, complaining hearts were replaced with a simplicity of heart to love and to be in the Lord's work and in his house. Because look what you read here. God begins by saying, whoever has a willing heart, let him bring an offering. It's a test a little bit, isn't it? Who has a willing heart? You could paraphrase that. Whoever here has been moved by grace, whoever here understands the love of God, whoever here has been deeply touched and understands the great sacrifice that's been made for you to be, whoever here gets justification by faith alone, whoever here understands the righteousness you need, Let him show it in a free will gift. God had just told him to rest. I don't want you out working. I want you to Sabbath. I want you to enjoy in the weekly pattern of rest so that you get to focus yourselves on me and you get to enjoy worship and you get to rest from all of your evil deeds. And after calling them to rest, now he's calling them to be a part of something. To be a part of something beautiful. And what moves me is that God could have dropped a ready-made tabernacle out of the sky, couldn't he? It would have been pretty impressive. Here it comes. Look at it. Didn't do that. It doesn't work that way. He's working through the willing hearts of his people. And this comes after receiving grace. I want you to notice verse 20. Then all the congregation of the people of Israel departed from the presence of Moses. And they came, everyone whose heart stirred him. Notice it's heart. Heart, 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 heart. And everyone whose spirit moved him and brought the Lord's contribution to be used for the tent of meeting and for all its service and for the holy garments. So they came, both men and women, all who were of a willing heart, brought brooches and earrings. This is all the stuff they used to make the calf with. Now look. All the gold. Willing hearts, stirred hearts, giving hearts. There was never the question of, is it 10%? This principle comes out of exactly what Paul picked up on. I think Paul's reading the Old Testament when he says many things. God loves a what? Cheerful giver. He who sows sparingly, I say, will reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes where? In his heart. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. I know what he's reading. I know what he's reading. He's reading Exodus 35. Hearts were stirred, willing hearts are giving, willing hearts, loving hearts, responding hearts. And what makes this so beautiful is it's not just money he's after. Look at all the service going on here. Notice the emphasis on the women. You can say this today, I hope. Knitting and sewing. It's okay. Some of you laughed. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. All the tapestry, all the beauty that went into this. Verse 30, God raised up Bezalel and filled him with the Spirit. Moses said to the children of Israel, see, the Lord has called Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and has filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and understanding and knowledge and in all manner of workmanship to design. He's put it in his heart the ability to teach too. I think I know what Paul was looking at in Ephesians 4. I'll come back to that. The Spirit shows up. Only a few times here we've read in Genesis and now in Exodus a few times, and he's equipping certain men to lead the congregation in the building project. He's equipping certain men. I believe it's fascinating because the people, they had no way of knowing what to do, how to build. You ever feel that in the Christian life? I don't even know what to do. I don't know how to be a part of this. I don't sometimes know what's expected of me. All of you go through that. I know that because when we come in and we talk to new members and we talk about gifts, nobody seems to know what they are. Notice he set apart certain men to teach and to train in that way. Let's pretty close to Ephesians 4. He himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to a measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Then he goes on to say, from the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effective working by which each part does its share. causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Again, I can't get Exodus 35 out of my mind now when I read these passages. It's all here. God equips each one of us, and notice that. The larger point being, and notice there are certain men set apart to do the work of the ministry, but then notice how involved the congregation is in this. They're all part of this. You'll notice that he singles out women in verse 25. I love that. The women and the men were given a vital part, and the women just as much, using all their gifts and their talents. We've got to be clear about that. It took a lot of money and a lot of time to build the tabernacle, which paved the way later for the temple, which in turn was intended to be a blessing for all the nations. So this was a glorious project they were a part of. Think about what they were a part of. God's kingdom. What a moment. In all the darkness of Israel's failures, God was building. You know what's being highlighted? Verse 29. All the men and women, the people of Israel, whose heart moved them to bring anything for the work that the Lord had commanded by Moses to be done, brought it as a freewill offering to the Lord. It keeps being said to us, instead of idolatry, it's this. God has given us a local church, hasn't he? God's given us all a local church to be a part of. Everyone here tonight, if you're not a member of this church, you're a part of somebody. Look over the life of the church. Look over what you've known in church life over the years. What have you experienced? I'm sure that if you looked over the course of your church life, because this has been my experience, you've had times of real tearing down, and you've had times of real building up. Maybe some ministries you were under were not faithful. Maybe the people wanted it that way. Maybe God had a different purpose. We never know the mind of the Lord as to why things go certain ways at times, do we? Sometimes there's tearing down. Maybe there was sin in the life of the congregation that was not confessed and leadership was doing nothing about. The tearing down is an exposure of hearts of the people. And what you often see in times of tearing down is what? Unwilling hearts. A lot of unwilling hearts. A lot of discouraged people. A lot of people not giving. A lot of people untouched by grace. Maybe they're not even getting it. But then there are times when God is really building locally. I believe, you can justify this all over the scriptures, that the call tonight is to recognize these seasons. And I believe that there are fresh seasons of building and blessing. And he's calling all of us to be a part of a giant building project that he has put in place. Like I said, he could have dropped a ready-made tabernacle out of the sky, but he builds through his people. And here's the thing. They had a taste of their sin in the golden calf, in false worship. It produced nothing but strife, division, misery, a joyless, miserable people. But here's a moment of erecting a new tabernacle in unity and in beauty and in peace. And look at it. This is all foreshadowing the time in which you live. I believe that strongly. Why do I say that? Because in verse 2 of chapter 36, we read that God called Bezalel and Aholiab and every gifted artisan in whose heart the Lord had put wisdom and everyone whose heart who stirred to come do the work. And what we read is that the people kept bringing the freewill offerings. So much so, the craftsmen come back to Moses and say, tell them to stop. We can't handle all the stuff. They're bringing too much. Too much. So Moses gives a commandment, stop giving. Let neither man nor woman do any more work for the Lord's sanctuary. That should just stun us tonight. That's the intention of that. We have enough. We have enough. What a moment in Israel's history. Here's your motivation for giving yourself to Christ's service. It's because God himself gave you his son and gave you his best and forgave you all your sins and your idolatry and your lawless deeds that you continue to do. And this is what happens when the gospel regenerates hearts.
Thank you for listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll-free at 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. Contact us through the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. We're on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station and subscribe in iTunes or use our free Android app. We trust this program has encouraged you to trust in Christ for your standing with God and to live in His abounding grace.